let's wrap her face in cellophane. Hello, I'm Joe.
I'm Mark.
I'm Justin.
And we're the J-Pops.
And we are attempting parenting in Japan.
Welcome to episode 80. Today we're talking about Japanese parental leave improvements. But first, the updates. How about it, Joe? Take it away.
Oh, well, Yuki is much the same as last time. She's developed her standing a little bit to incorporate shuffling. She does the odd shuffle to one side or the other. But I would say the more important development is kissing.
Oh my, how precocious.
She has improved her kissing game from a headbutt just to toys. So we'd say kiss Kuro Usagi. Kuro Usagi is her little black bunny rabbit. Mm-hmm. And she just sort of plant her head on the floor on top of the bunny. But now she forms a full lip pucker, and with an accompanying mwah.
Oh, so that's nice.
He goes, mwah.
Something I noticed with Nico is he says ma, like kind of an M-A. Does she get an actual smack in there, or is she saying ma?
No, it's more of a mwah. Yeah, like mwah. A mwah. There's not much of a, there's no sound.
Okay.
All right. It's more of a mwah. But then also what she does is, so she quite often climbs me. I'll be lying on the floor and she'll try and sort of
scale you.
Scale me. Good. I'm glad. Yeah, I was trying to think of a better word than mount. she'll try and scale me. And she'll sort of have one palm of her hand in my cheek and the other one on my shoulder or whatever. But then she'll just stop and turn and her face will become serious and she'll look me dead in the eye and she'll lean forwards and just plant a very soft kiss right on my lips and then carry on with whatever she was doing. And
that's,
it's brilliant.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's one of the sweetest things I've ever heard. That must be touching.
It's literally lip to lip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Does that weird you guys out at all?
No.
Early, my question for you, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's slightly, I don't know. It's one of those things, isn't it? Like, how comfortable are you with lip kissing your child?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then my friends in Seattle had their kids and they grew up doing that with them, but then they would meet other people and they would do it with them too. And like,
oh, the kids, not the adults.
Yeah. The kids would come up to other people. Like one of the boys came up to me one time and he was like, I think 3 at this time.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, oh, he just wants to give you a kiss. So I like turned and I like kind of gave him my cheek.
Yeah.
But like he turned to me and then like planted one on my lips and I was like, whoa. And then they made fun of me for being weirded out by that.
Yeah. Did he buy a drink or anything?
No. I didn't even get dinner out of it.
That's inappropriate. Nah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any of the paranoia about like germs and so forth? I mean, I didn't know about this before having a kid, but my wife was sensitive to like, you know, if you eat something and then hand it directly to the kid or using the same spoon or whatever. And I thought it was just pure paranoia, but then I looked it up and it is that some of the adult bacteria is not suitable for the kid.
Yeah.
And then like, if you have a lot of cavities as an adult, it could be your bacteria culture in your mouth and you've given that to your kid now. So you are supposed to actually not use the same spoon and all that. And that alone would make me leery enough to not want to kiss on the mouth. Like, okay, this is too close to sharing a spoon. Let's just not do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm certainly not intending on sharing a spoon with my daughter at any point, but of any kind, really. Yeah, I guess that does make me feel like a terrible parent. Thanks, Justin.
You're welcome. I'm the messenger of death.
But it does make me feel slightly odd from that angle, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, ooh, I probably shouldn't allow this, but like you said, it is such a sweet, tender thing that you just like, you don't want to recoil You know what I mean? Because I don't want to give her a complex or mouth or bacteria.
Yeah. Yeah. You're stuck between a complex and mouthful bacteria, as the old saying goes.
What I need is a thin sheet of clear plastic that I can just quickly pop
you can
there.
Just wrap it around her head and then send her out.
Face.
Yeah, send her out to kiss everyone.
And then I'll be a much better parent if I wrap her head in cling film.
Yeah, perfect.
I suppose that's good early education for prophylactic use. So good job,
that's
Joe.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wrap your whole face.
Wrap your
absolutely
whole face.
Where that kind of education will end as well for a good long while. Just wrap her face in cellophane.
Yeah, but I'm with you, Joe. I end up, you know, just because when you're in the sort of the emotional moment of like, I've had half of a cookie and then he wants the other half of the cookie, I'm like, just take it. I don't care. You know, like knowing full well that you're not supposed to, you still just do it.
I don't do that. I take her food.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't give her
okay
half-eaten my food. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So trying to get her good bacteria is what you're doing. I see.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm trying to get to her level of teeth, which is 3, nearly 4.
Oh, that's nice. Another update there. Interesting.
I suppose it is, yeah. Yeah, the top 2 teeth have come through very strong.
Mm.
Bottom one is still angled. And I think that was from last
I saw
week.
Two. I saw two on the bottom last time I saw her. It's poking.
It's starting to, yeah. There's a second one just beginning to make its protrudence known. But not, it's still also coming in at a 45 degree angle, but the opposite 45 degree angle.
Mm.
So, you know, if she bites an apple, there'll be a sort of V shape.
Nice.
Perfect balance.
Yeah, we'll see. So, that's pretty much, I think, her updates. She has a birthday coming soon.
Mm.
The first one. That's going to be 12 days. So I guess I'll talk about that next week.
Wow.
The week after.
Yeah, we're doing a joint B-day with her and Coda. It's going
to
be pretty great.
Very risky in Japan to you know, have a joint birthday. Have to keep that one on the down low.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it risky? Why is it risky?
Well, you know.
Joints.
You can't have joints in.
Oh man, I'm not there today.
For legal purposes, we're talking about lamb, a joint of lamb.
Yeah.
Roast potatoes. It's, you can't find lamb in Japan very easily.
It's Viking themed classic first
That's
Thursday.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
Mark?
Yo.
What about your offspring?
They're progressing. Let's see. Emma is now 6 months old. Just 3 days ago, we had her little half birthday celebration. We didn't really do much, but we got some pictures taken, and that was nice. And Coda is nearly 2. As I said before, we'll have that joint B-day party coming up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So looking forward to that. But not much else, thankfully. No sicknesses yet. he's slowly progressing in subtle ways. Like when you go into daycare, you know, you're supposed to like take your shoes off and then like go with the teacher and stuff. And he's just started like really just like taking his own shoes and bringing them to the shelf. So incremental steps. And I think he's doing pretty well towards that.
That's very good.
When we were over the other day, he was talking to me kind of.
Mm.
I think he engaged in a high five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you catch him at the right time, he'll get it. Yeah, he has to be into it though. Like last night I was like, high five, just completely ignores me, does his own thing. This morning I did it. He gave me a high five. So maybe I gotta get him when he's tired.
It's worn
down.
Did I
see a new haircut on the boy?
You did, yeah. I guess I gave him a haircut over the weekend. And it was just because it was getting really long. And when he sleeps at night, he kind of gets crazy and he flops around a lot. And then it gets tangled and stuff. And I thought like, and I noticed he was starting to like actively pull it.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than see him get more frustrated by something, I just wanted to kind of like make it easier, trim it up, make it a little more clean for him so he wouldn't maybe notice it as much or be irritated by it. And then when he does try to sleep at night, make it less of an irritation.
Did you get the scissors out, or was this like a, you got the electric trimmers, or what'd you do?
Yeah, I was in the shower with him, and I have a pair of clippers, like electric trimmers, that I use on myself. And you can use it when your hair is wet or dry, and it doesn't matter. So I got his hair wet, and I was just kind of like rinsed it off with the soap. And then I was looking at it, and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to try to cut it. And then I just grabbed the clippers, and I was just like,
Did you clear it with Moe first, or did you just dive right in there?
No, I just dove right in there. And
all right.
He came out complete surprise.
Wow. What a move. You've obviously claimed Coda as your own in the family.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
No, I did an okay job, but it wasn't great. So then the next day she took him for the shower and she cleaned it up, and now it looks presentable.
That's good.
He's a very handsome young man.
Yeah.
He's a handsome little dude.
Yeah. Have you considered the DNA test?
I have. I thought maybe it would be somebody else, but you're the only other guys I know here who he could be, and it's obviously.
Oh, man.
I
mean, and Mark's more handsome than both of us.
Oh, God. Well, Mark, why don't you just point the finger directly at me? Trying to make it ambiguous, involving Justin in that.
I didn't want to say anything.
I had a joke that I was very, very proud of, Joe, that I don't know if you remember or not, but when Nico was born, I said to you in some Zoom call, I was like, once the kid was born, I was a little suspicious of Joe because he's got really long legs. He was born with a bit of hair on his shoulders. He's got tiny baby's penis. All the signs. All the signs.
It's funny because it's true. And a beard. And a full beard.
Oh, and a full beard.
Anyway, I'm so proud of it. I remembered it 2 years later, Joe.
You rang me from the delivery room, I remember.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah. As soon as his head came out.
Mr. Whittinghill, please, can you cut the umbilical cord? And you were like, hang on a sec, I just got to finish this call.
Just a minute. Just a minute.
I got to burn this guy real quick. nice.
Cool. Well, anything else, Mark? Anything in the kids' lives?
Not that I can think of, but probably that Moe will remind me I forgot. So, no. Justin, right. How's it going in America?
it's wonderful out here in the land of the free. I'll cover Jay Baby first, who, according to this document, is 24 weeks. I have no idea. I've said this before, but with a second kid, Mark, you can hopefully back me up. You just don't think about the pregnancy on the second one because your mind is fully occupied with the first one.
And
the day-to-day goings on. So 24 weeks, 25 weeks, something like that. It's around 6 months of
pregnancy. When I update this doc, I'm just adding 2 to whatever number that was there before.
Okay, perfect.
She could be 30 right now. I have no idea.
I wouldn't know either.
That's not how weeks work, Mark.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Pretty sure they're fairly linear in there.
Yeah, but we're on a bi-weekly. We're on a bi-weekly recording schedule. So
deeply confusing. I figured
2 weeks was good.
But she's in the neighborhood of 6 months. I don't even know if that's American months or Japanese months. You know, they count it slightly differently. But anyway, she's approaching the third trimester, and she's showing. I mean, she's out there, out and proud. And she went to an appointment, and that baby is very, very active and healthy. She sent me a video of that. She's back in Japan, and she had an appointment kind of right out of the gate. So she went to that and made it. So everything's going well there. Of course, am flying solo with Nico here in the U.S. And it's been okay. He's a daddy's boy anyway, so it's almost the same. It's like he's, you know, comes to me all the time, wants to be held and that sort of thing, and says daddy, daddy all the time. So that's all more or less the same. And of course, I'm here either at my mom's house or my dad's house. So there are multiple grandparents around, aunts, uncles, cousins. So it's actually like even more people than usual to kind of take him.
Nice.
So compared to just Yumi and I in Japan, I think
yeah,
it's pretty much the same what I've got going on now. But a different story will be told when we have to travel, because we're looking down the barrel of 24 hours of door-to-door travel when Nico and I go back. And
You're so far away from any major airport.
Yeah, we got to go 2 hours to get to Louisville, Kentucky. And then in Louisville, we fly to a bigger city. And then from that city, we fly to Tokyo. Then Tokyo to Komatsu. And then it's still about 45 minutes home. So it ends up being about 24 hours door to door. And I'll just be exhausted. Unlucky. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm normally on like 36 to 40 Ooh, to get home.
Damn. Wow.
That is wild. With the kid, I mean, it was so easy when Nico was under a year old because he just sat there and was a baby. But when he's two, it goes off the rails because he wants to do his own stuff and run around, and he gets sick of it and knows that he can demand to kind of go here and there, and it's a lot harder. So you've got that in your future, Joe. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep that cellophane wrap handy.
Yeah, cellophane wrap. Upgrade to first class. Let her lay out, you know, in the seat. That'll be easy.
Just her.
Yeah, just her. Yeah,
we couldn't even afford that, but it might be worth switching out. Yeah,
the
trade all your tickets in and just send her.
Let the airplane staff take care of her.
How could they refuse? They'd have to be heartless.
Mm.
The other thing is his English has taken off like crazy because we're hanging out with so many of his cousins who are about the same age, and then he's got a lot of little friends here. Strangely. Never lived here, but he's got a lot of little friends. It's sort of people that I know or have met through the newspaper or something, and then we'll meet up, and then he'll play with all kinds of kids, loads and loads of kids, and his English has gone totally wild. He's
nice.
In the last 3 weeks that we've been here, he's started doing things like he's up to like 3-word sentences that have kind of a clear subject verb, and he'll say, like, today we're walking and he wanted me to walk in a certain place and him to walk in a certain other place, so he was like, Nico walk here, daddy walk here, and he's like pointing to the locations and stuff.
Wow.
So all that just came about because he's heard his cousins say it, and he just comes online with it, and he parrots all the time. But the other one is he's got a real good command, and it's just since we landed here he got really good command of the word one, in terms of like big one, small one, high one, low one, and black one, red one, yellow one, all that. So any adjective that he knows, he puts it with one without any problem, and he indicates things with that all the time. So he's really kind of like using languages, building blocks, and combining it and everything. And in the in Japan, when it was just us in the house, it was really just sort of nouns and mom and dad and that sort of thing. So it's like he heard other kids make little sentences, and he's like, I can do this. I can make little sentences. So he's doing that. It's crazy because it's like suddenly we're having weird little conversations, whereas before he would just say single words and you would have to kind of guess at what he was driving at.
I'm curious, when he's there hanging out with like other American kids and you're around it, do you notice like if he engages differently versus when he's here?
I think, I don't know if the engagement is so different. It's just that before the English wasn't such a big component and now it is. And so I see him like, you know, watch other kids to extreme detail and repeat what they do. Like if they, even if they like cough or something, he'll try to imitate their cough, you know? And then that's the level of like, even the language that he picks up, he's just trying to imitate like that all the time. So, he says things that we don't understand that he's combined by himself. Like the step grandmother that we're with today is called Nana B. And today he was saying bee house, and I was thinking of like a beehive or whatever. And then I realized, oh, we're at Nana B's house. And he was trying to like link them up, but we had never said Nana B's house. We don't call it that. So he was kind of like putting the concepts together by himself. And that's another thing. He didn't say it there, but he does do possessives as well. It's like Nico's something and dad's something. He puts the S on things too, which isn't 100% accurate all the time. Sometimes there's a misfire, but he's like, adding all these elements of like language.
Nico's car, Nico's house.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big part of it. He says Nico constantly. And a little bit of it is messed up. Like, I say, I'll help you. And so when he needs help with something, he says, help you, help you. Nico, help you, Nico, help you. And that means, I, Nico,
I'll help.
need
Yeah.
help. And yeah, so Nico, help you is please help me, that sort of thing. But
You help Nico,
yeah,
is what
so
he's
he's,
Yoda.
yeah. So he's coming online, and it's crazy to see. It's literally, we landed here, and 2 days later, he was doing this after cousin exposure. You know, a little kid speaking
Interesting.
English to him, like his buddy, for 6 hours a day, and then he just got it all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of like kids like going back to either like America or just like Western countries and then picking up the English because usually the kids that are around engage with them a lot more than when they're in Japan, I think.
Something else that kind of is in that same vein is, he never said this before in Japan, and he says it in the US all the time. He just like looks out on something, like a situation, and he appraises it, and he says, fun. You know, like he'll see,
Sarcastically.
he'll see a park. He'll see a park or playground equipment off in the distance, and he'll be like, fun. And then we'll go over to someone's house, and he's got a couple of cousins there, and he's like, fun. Like he knows that it's going to
Nice.
be a good time, and he's identifying it. And I half think it's just the English that he's gotten here, but I half think it's that Japan's not really fun. You know, there's not like wild, carefree shouting and reckless abandon. We went to a
Yeah.
restaurant, and his two younger cousins, well, they're, you know, 2, 3, 4, that sort of age. They were all at the restaurant together, and there's nobody really sitting in our section. So we're like, yeah, let them free. And they just ran around the tables, like screaming and being wild. And in
That sounds
Japan,
American.
yeah.
Sounds like that might be linked with why there was no one in your section.
Yeah, exactly. There were people in the section, but we saw to it. But they ran around, and then I just realized, like, oh, this wouldn't happen in Japan. It's just like, this is much too noisy, and it's too free flowing, and it's like these people aren't in their
Oh,
right
yeah.
place at this right moment. So it just wouldn't work out that way. But here, it can, like, fun can break out at any moment. And I think he's
Right.
registering that, and he's just like excited at every turn because there's something fun to do. I guess,
America is kind of like a big amusement park.
yeah, it absolutely is. I mean,
But with guns.
yeah.
Well, your amusement parks don't have guns.
Yeah, that's what Mark said, Joe.
Oh, they do. You got
That's
to
amusement
shoot the ducks.
park. Yeah.
They're all bent.
We didn't go to that kind of amusement park show. So we were at the museum. Even the museum, like here, the whole second floor is just kids' play zone, and it's cool,
Oh,
museum-y
nice.
kind of things. But yeah, it's just wild, wild
Yeah.
fun all the
I
time.
miss like a science museum in America because it's just
Yeah.
like a kid's play and practice area where they
Yeah.
just can just go and run. Whereas if you
Yeah.
see that here, it's like, oh, you can't touch this item. Oh,
Yeah.
you can't touch
Yeah. Yeah.
that
It's so much more staid and reserved and calm in Japan. It's totally wild. It kind of, I wonder if he's going to go back to daycare like a different person, because
Hmm.
he's expecting wildness, and he goes wild all the time here. He just, you know, it's sort of more allowed. So I think
Just
he'll.
on that note, you know, at the Hakkasan Ion Mall here in Kanazawa-ish area,
Yeah.
there's a section in there called Kids Dreamland. I don't
Oh
know if you're
yeah.
familiar with it, or
Yeah.
Kids Dreamland or something. And I remember the first time I saw that, and I thought, ooh, that sounds fun. It must be a lot of exciting things for kids. And you go there and you walk in, and what there is there's a small insurance company on the left. Then there's an English classroom and a maths classroom on the right. And then there are some sort of office style desks for meetings, but for children meetings. They haven't got like flip charts or whiteboards, but they might as well have. And then there's some
Yeah.
toilets.
Well, you're forgetting there's an abacus on the wall.
Oh, I hadn't spotted that. Okay, there's an abacus on the wall
Yeah.
to
So it is
practice your
fun.
maths.
Okay.
Like, what is it? Kiddies send the kiddies to sleep so that they can have a dreamland. There's literally nothing fun in there for them whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah. Some 80-year-old guy thought of that and was like, this must be what they
This
want.
is
They
what I
want to
did.
study.
Yeah.
And nobody below him said, I think that's a bad idea, sir.
Yeah.
And let's put an insurance company in here so that mom and dad can get some insurance.
That's the thing about the US is they really do latch on to things that are kind of, you know, let's take this up to the next level and then let's make it a feature of the product or a feature of this museum or a feature of the playground or whatever. So it's always sort of the newest, funnest ideas and the wildest stuff. And I think it's all the way up to, like, you know, people, at least in this area of the country, in Kentucky, it's like, you know, it would be cool on this truck is make it bigger and taller and put guns on it. Yeah. And then, like, let's put a lift kit on it, make it a monster truck. And then you drive down the road and everyone has a monster truck. And it's like,
yeah,
it is cool, I guess, to see monster trucks everywhere. It's cooler than a tiny truck in its way. Of course, it gets 1 mile to the gallon, but they're willing to do that for fun. And Japan is certainly just not, but it's kind of a weird hysteria as well that everybody's chasing all the time in the US, and it makes things kind of uneasy sometimes, or a little bit too active or noisy or annoying or loud or whatever. But that's kind of the nature of the US, I think.
Yeah. I do remember when I first came here after being in America, I felt like the first like true sense of calm when I was out in public.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you're out in America, you're just like, I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to do this thing. I got to watch out for that guy. He might try to, like, mug me or something.
Yeah.
But out in public here, you're just like, I could just chill.
Yeah.
So it is definitely a different vibe.
Yeah. One other thing about the U.S. is that I notice that you encounter that sort of stuff. Like, I was telling you guys before off air that I had, like, a weird run-in at a gas station with somebody who was far, far, far strung out on some crazy drug, and he was panhandling, and he was erratic and slurry and everything. And I was stuck where I was, gassing up in my car, and it was awkward. But then after the danger passed, you feel a little bit tough, you know? You're like, well, I got through that. That wasn't too big of a deal. And then in Japan, there are very few opportunities to sort of feel tough after something, you know? Like, you never have to stare any danger in the face. So you're never sort of like, I don't know, reminded of how you deal with that sort of thing or something. But it happens here.
It is true.
With frequency. It just sucks that it does, but then you generally get through it. And then, I don't know, you kind of feel good that you've gotten through it. But it's a double-edged sword,
that
of
makes
course.
Sense.
I guess in a perfect world, you don't want to deal with it, which would make Japan the perfect world. But anyway.
Can I stop you there?
Yeah, please.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. I just don't need to stop talking.
Just stop.
Shall we move on to segment?
Let's do it. Segment in Land is all about the childcare leave policies in Japan. I'll be on childcare leave when we have the second kid in June, and I push it to the max. I take the full year. But the thing is, I did this before when Nico was born, and the policies have changed in that interim. In about 2.5 years, they've actually changed, and Joe will have had a much different experience with this than me because of, like, the timing of employments and births and things. But in general, for, like, the Japanese worker, they've improved childcare leave in the last 2.5 years, which is absolutely crazy because it was already one of the most generous systems in the world. And just to recap a bit, and Joe, you can stop me again and totally bash everything that I'm saying.
Well, I'll let you speak, and then I'll tell you the amount of paternity leave that I was allowed.
Yeah, and this is like, if you're more or less like a full-time salaried worker somewhere in Japan, they guarantee the mother and the father separately a year off, generally. And they say, of course, that that's 67% pay for the first 6 months and then 50% pay for the next 6 months. But when you factor in things like you don't pay income tax on childcare leave payments and you obviously don't have to pay for childcare because you're taking care of that child yourself, and then you factor in like they waive your health insurance premiums for that period as well, that 67 and 50 actually turn out to be generally like 80% throughout the year. You can consider it sort of a year at 80%, and that's how it was. So, Joe, please amend this.
Well, I am not, or I wasn't, and I won't be a full-time permanent staff member. So this is speaking from the perspective as of a contract teacher. Because I was within 1 year or 1.5 years, I think, of the end of my contract, the maximum amount of parental leave I was offered was, care to take a guess, or maybe you know?
I know.
I know.
Okay,
yeah,
you both back. Know. So at home, take a little, you know, sum it up in your mind. 2 days.
Remarkable.
Cha-ching.
Wow. And I took one of them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, 2 days. 2 days at 100%.
But that coincided with the end of your contract, though. I thought if you had been in an earlier part of your contract, you could have taken the full year, though.
I could have done. It was because I was, if you are within the first year of your contract, I think it's year or year and a half, or you're within the last year or year and a half of your contract,
okay,
that's all you can take. But if you are, yeah, if it was like year 3 of 5,
yeah,
well, actually no, because you get a three, you get a is it a 2 year contract and then a 3 year contract. So basically the first 2 years, but basically the first 3 years of your employment, you can only take 2 days. And then from the third year, for like half a year, you could get a year, and then you're back to only 2 days. So
wait a minute.
Six
they don't
months
give
out of
you
5 years.
They don't give you a 5 year contract?
No, you get a two or a 3 year contract followed by another
Wow.
2 year or 3 year contract.
Could be different at different places. I don't know. But yeah,
I guess so.
No, I think that's a national thing.
Is that standard? So
yeah,
you get a very narrow window to take advantage of the childcare leave.
Yeah. But I mean, it's fine because also in Japan, there's 10 days that the mother and child usually spend in hospital. So those 10 days, there was no point in not being at work, really.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't so long after that.
Especially during COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, although we were back in the office at that point.
Well, I just mean the hospitals were still limited then.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you can't really visit.
Yeah.
So I was lucky to be able to be present at the birth. But that, you know, yeah, so there was not much point in taking more than 1 day anyway, just to go there and be present for the birth. And then the following day, I just went to work because it was the point.
Spoken like a true salary man.
Well, it's better than sitting around at home kicking my heels.
You're more Japanese than all of us, Joe.
Yep, not going to say anything. Be construed.
The thing about it is that this is the Japanese government's lever that they choose to pull to try and increase the birth rate, is to keep incentivizing people through parental leave and trying to make it better all the time. Anything other than immigration to bring this population up, it's like they'll do anything
absolutely
other than
absolutely
blow the doors off immigration. So they keep pulling the same lever further and further and further. And Prime Minister Kishida in March of 2023 gave a speech in which he was trying to light a fire under the Diet, like the Japanese Congress. And the Diet had been working on expanding the parental leave benefits, but they hadn't done enough. And so Kishida wanted them to do more. And in the speech in 2023 in March, he said, we've got to get that 80% salary figure. We got to get that up to 100, guys. Come on, let's do it. So his sort of command to the Diet was 80 is not enough. They need to be paid in full for the full year, both parents that they leave. And then finally, I think it was in November of 2023, there was a panel connected to the Ministry of whatever it's called, like labor, welfare, and something, employment or something. I can't remember. Ministry came out with their final verdict, and they said, okay, we're going to push it up to 100, but only for the first month. And then the remaining 11 months is going to be basically back at that 80% figure. So they've increased it that way. That only comes into effect in 2025. So our 2024 birth is not going to like be affected by that. But that's somewhat significant. I mean, to crack one of the months up to 100, like full pay for that month. And a lot of people
It's a
would only,
start, yeah.
yeah, people may only take 1 month, and so they would get 100 for that month that they're gone. But then they that panel, when they gave their they announced their changes, another one was that they've expanded the types of workers that were covered. Like formerly, freelance workers were not covered under the parental leave system, but now they're brought in under the umbrella. They also announced that people who go back to work on reduced hours are going to receive a subsidy from the government. So say you worked 40 hours before, but then you go
Oh.
back to work
Oh.
at 20 to do a bit of childcare, they're going to give you a subsidy. They didn't release the specifics, so it's probably not your full, 20 hours that you're
Yeah.
missing out on, but they'll give you something if you're taking a hit in
That's
hours
interesting.
after the birth. So
Is
they're
that
just
something that they'll do not retrospectively, but
retroactively.
so
Retroactively.
or so Miho is going back on reduced hours.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
like 1 hour a day, so I don't know what that is. Like 5 hours in a week. Yeah, God, I did the math really quickly then. It's not a lot, but it's slightly reduced pay. So will she get a subsidy for that, do you think, once this kicks in?
I think it comes into effect in 2025, so if she's still doing it, she could probably apply for it. It's definitely something to look into. But those things are all set to drop soon, and I just feel like we were talking about this the first time in 2022, and I wrote about it for the paper, I wrote, it's probably the most generous system in the world, and they just keep ratcheting it up. But again, it's just, I think it's the only thing they can think to do, or the only thing that's politically feasible. And then the other side of it too is that the number in 2019 was that 7.5% of men took any of the leave at all. So even a day's worth of it is 7.5%. And then by 2021, that number had increased to 17%. But back in March of 2023, when Kishida gave that speech, he set new targets, and his new targets are wild. In by 2025, he said he wants 50% of men taking some of the leave. And then by 2030, he wants 80% of men taking the childcare leave. Maybe, not the full year, but however much you want to take.
Man.
So it's like right now it's about 17%. By next year, he wants it at 50. And then 5 years after that, 80. And he said, there was some quote. Hold on, actually, let me find this quote because it was so like shocking and sweeping. He said, "We must change the overall consciousness and structure of society."
Talk
Which
about
is,
a
whoa,
dreamland.
yeah, what a dream. I mean, and that's what you would have to do because culturally you just don't, abandon your work like that. So, I mean, that's what he wants. That's what he said publicly in a speech, so that's kind
Well,
of,
he's not wrong.
yeah, that's the path he's chosen. That's the path the government's chosen. And if you can have more kids, then come to Japan, get a full-time job, and have those kids because they just keep ratcheting that up.
No.
If you can, obviously through marriage, because you can't immigrate here.
Yeah. It's obscenely difficult if you're not already Japanese. But anyway, those are my updates, basically on the child care leave system. Oh, also, I forgot to
Nice.
mention that we're doing IVF. We had done it for Nico, and now we've done it now for this next pregnancy. And IVF subsidies were expanded as well. So more parts of the IVF process were subsidized by the government or paid for by our health insurance.
Oh, that's
So
cool.
they're throwing money at it like nobody's business. And that's it. That's the recap. So how about a good old
Excellent.
fashioned Japati?
Ready, sitting down.
Japati. Japati today. This is very bizarre because this is Nico's original Japanese. Nico was saying something in kind of a katakana-y way, and it was an English word, and I could not understand what it was because it was so country. he kind of heard this word from somebody here, but then processed it through his Japanese brain. And what he was saying was ka yacht over and over again. And it took me a long time to understand what this word was.
What is it?
Ninjin.
It is. It is. He was trying to say, he was simply trying to say cat, but he had heard everybody around here say kayet. Is that y'all's kayet? And he processed the kayet and put it into two like syllables. And he was like, kayot, kayot. And I was like, oh my God, this language should not exist. Whatever this is.
So it's not carrot. It's not carrot then.
Yeah, it wasn't carrot.
Carrot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simply going for kayet.
That's interesting because Yuki has recently started to say dag.
Oh yeah, she
for dog. Yeah, so she sounds a bit like Brad Pitt in the Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Snatch. So,
oh, is it Snatch?
Inaccurate references. Yeah.
Got mixed up.
You got your identical movies mixed up.
Yes, exactly.
Question time.
My question for you is, what's you guys' cookies, sweets, and desserts policy with the kid?
I eat them all.
None allowed.
Nothing.
Yeah, we try to keep away from it, but it's America. Everything is cookies and sweets, so we've relaxed a little bit here.
Mm.
If it's too close to bedtime, definitely no. If he's going off to daycare, you go ahead.
Yeah. Excellent. It's a good policy.
Our policy is nothing until she's like seven.
We're going to
try and keep her out of all of that stuff for as long as possible.
She's going to be like I don't know, man, that's going to turn out bad. It's like the kid who was refused soda his whole life and then just binges after he moves out. Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll introduce maybe a little bit here and there, but we want her to believe that fruit is a treat.
That's the way to do it.
So like, great, an apple. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely the way to do it. Well, let's blast on through our dad jokes. All right, I'm going to do the first one here. It says, my wife and I decided not to have kids. The kids are taking it pretty badly.
Joe, mine's especially for you guys. Where's the best place in America to shop for a football kit? And I mean real football.
No idea where.
New Jersey.
Mm. Perfect.
No. New Jersey. Right. Anytime you put New Jersey in a joke, it fails. Even if it makes sense.
Okay.
My wife asked me to put ketchup on the shopping list. And now I can't read anything.
Look out. This last one for me says, I'd like to have kids one day. I don't think I could stand them any longer than that, though.
Hey.
Okay.
Well, I'm gonna tell you a joke that I made up.
Nice.
I thought of by myself, so it is a literal dad joke. Did you hear that they are bringing out a sequel to Princess Mononoke?
No.
It's called Princess Stereonoke.
I miss it.
Mononoke. Stereonoke.
It's a perfect dad joke.
Yeah, it's an audiophile joke.
All right, last one for me. Did you know that diarrhea is hereditary? It runs in your genes.
Oh, dear me. Oh. That's a good note to end the episode on, don't you think?
Yes, I do. I'll walk us out of here then. Thanks for listening. We hope this week's episode was informative and interesting. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to us either on the site formerly known as Twitter at the J-Pops Podcast or by email at info@thejpops.com. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Have you seen any coyotes today?